Hey everyone, so I hope you're having a pretty good week. I am officially done with school, so I'm just like enjoying being done. I've just been sleeping in and relaxing, and it's been so nice, and I'm so happy to be done with school and graduating. But that's just a little update on me. But anyway, as the podcast episode is titled, I'm going to be talking about my favorite Bible verses. So I did an episode just like this when I first started the podcast last year. And if you remember, I said that I don't have a favorite life Bible verse, and I still don't. And people find that really weird, because people will come up to me and be like, "Oh, Alyssa, what's your favorite Bible verse? Or do you have a favorite verse?" And I'll be like, "No, I don't." And people just kind of look at me a different way and look at me like I'm weird, and are like, "You're a Christian and you don't have a favorite Bible verse?" And I don't. I then explain, because every time I read my Bible, I find something new that literally amazes me. So like I said in the past episode, I only have favorite Bible verses for like a week. And then the next week I find a new one I really love. But anyway, today I'm just going to go through a few Bible verses that I really, really, really love and just explain them. So it's going to be just like a little chit chat about a few verses in the Bible. But I encourage you to open up your Bible app or go grab your Bible, and let's get started. So we're going to be going over five different verses today. At first, when I was prepping for this podcast, I had literally 15 different verses I wanted to go over. I was like, you know what? Maybe that's not such a good idea, because that would have ended up being like an hour episode. But maybe I'll do like a part two later on. But anyway, I narrowed the list down to five verses. So we're first going to start off with Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4:8, and it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things." So I want to read verse 7 really quick, which explains a little bit about what verse 8 is talking about. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So God gives us peace, you know? Like verse 7 says, he gives us a peace that surpasses all our understanding. And that's something I pray for on a regular. I pray for peace. I pray for not the peace the world can give me, because the peace the world gives is temporary, you know? But I pray for the peace that God can give me, because that's long-lasting. So God can give us peace. The thing is, we need to hold on to it. We don't want to lose our peace quickly. So to prevent that from happening, Paul says we need to do some things. And those things are listed in verse 8. Paul says we need to dwell on whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, and if there's any moral excellence and that there's anything praiseworthy, we should focus our attention there. So again, to guard our peace, to hold on to peace and prevent it from flying away, we need to meditate on things or focus on things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely. And one of the main reasons we don't keep our peace is because we as people tend to like dwell on things that are set like in direct opposition to the peace we're asking for. We'll just lie over and just really just remember all the bad things that can happen in life. And if we continue to entertain those type of messages that work against our peace, then anxiety will just return. We're constantly just entertaining things that are going against our peace as human beings. And so therefore, we just really need to come and ask ourselves, what I've learned to ask myself is this. What I'm currently dwelling on, am I able to praise God for those things? And if I'm not able to praise God for those things, then I know that those things will cause me to lose peace. For an example, let's do this. One of the things listed in verse 8 says, whatever is pure. And let's say we're listening to some really bad music or just watching some really bad TV shows. Will you really feel right going to God and praise him for that? Being like, oh God, thank you so much for this bad music. Thank you so much for this bad TV show. No, that would just feel weird, you know? So all this to say, if you're not able to go to God and praise him for the things that you're dwelling on, then that should show that the things you're dwelling on are going to cause you to lose peace, lose the peace that God has given you. So just remember that. The next I want to go to John, the book of John, and we're going to be reading from chapter 16. So John 16, verse 33, it says, I have told you these things, it says, I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. I'm going to read it one more time. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. So I actually, like I mentioned in my last episode that was like last year about this exact topic, I have this bulletin board. And on this bulletin board, I have a whole bunch of different sticky notes and note cards and just papers filled up with different Bible verses and teachings. And last year, I only had one bulletin board. And on this bulletin board, I tried to clip up all these sticky notes and note cards and papers. And now I have 5 different bulletin boards up in my room. It's not the prettiest thing, but I really don't care because I'm able to just stick up scripture on these bulletin boards or stick up sayings or teachings whenever I want. And so John 16:33 is one of the verses I have up on that bulletin board. And I really like having those 5 different bulletin boards on my wall because I can just walk up and see different prayers I've written or walk up and look at different Bible teachings or notes I have or walk up and just see different Bible verses and the meanings to them. Yeah, that's like my little off-topic thing. But anyway, John 16:33 is one of the verses that are up there. And I have the verse John 16:33 written out, and underneath it, I wrote this. I wrote, I'm always going to have fears, but I'm also always going to have Christ. And it's the security of his love that enables me to trust him in the midst of fearful situations. And I have that saying just posted on my bulletin board because I love it. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm always going to have fears, but I'm always going to have Christ. And it's the security of his love that enables me to trust him in the midst of fearful situations. Okay, so I'm going to read John 16:33 one more time. Y'all are probably getting annoyed that I'm reading these verses so much, but I'm going to read it one more time. The verse says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. So Jesus revealed several things to his disciples in the passages before chapter 16. And he was revealing things to them not to like fill them with fear, but that they can have peace in him. And peace is not like this serenity or this just total calmness in the absence of a crisis. The peace that Jesus was talking about is something that he can only give. It's something that believers are definitely able to experience in everyday life, and especially while they're in a crisis. Because usually the peace that comes from the world isn't long lasting, it's just temporary. And the peace that comes from the world usually just floats on away right when the crisis starts to happen. But the peace that comes from Jesus Christ is long-lasting, and we're able to experience it even when we're in crisis. So what we have to remember is that you can't know if you truly have peace in Christ until conflict happens. Christians find their peace in his or her connection to Christ based on his word. So for me, at least, I find that I'm most at peace when I'm in my word on a regular basis. And when I'm not in my word on a regular basis, I tend to not be as peaceful. I tend to be worried. I tend to be stressed. I tend to be trying to do a whole bunch of things at once. But no matter what we're enduring in life, Jesus encouraged us in this verse to be courageous. The last part says, be courageous, for I have conquered the world. So what this verse is saying is, no matter how the world beats you down, you have a reason to live with a boldness because Jesus is our sovereign King over the world. We have a reason to be courageous, like the verse says, because Jesus already defeated sin. He already defeated Satan and he already defeated death. So what's there to worry about? If you're a believer in Christ, your eternity is secure and your eternity is set. And what I also love to remember is that Jesus has the power to overrule any circumstance that we may experience here on this earth. And knowing this truth and maintaining a really intimate relationship with the Lord will definitely change your perspective as you face any obstacle that comes your way. But whenever I read John 16:33, whenever you read it, just remember that his peace will give you peace in the midst of life crisis. His peace will also give you peace in the midst of life's crisis. Remember that we're always going to have fears, but we're always going to have Christ. And it's the security of his love that enables us to trust him in the midst of fearful situations. All right, so now we're going to go on to the next verse. The next verse is from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. So Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this: but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So whenever I read Romans 5, 8, I always think of Christ saying, I loved you at your darkest. I loved you at your darkest moment. Because the verse literally says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he showed his great love for us by dying for us while we were still sinners. Oh, just so y'all know, I should have said this at the beginning, but something that's really important to me is context. Context, 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 context. Like, I always say this, but I hate when people take verses out of context, and I personally hate taking things out of context. So doing this entire episode, I am trying my hardest to keep things in context. I've done a good amount of research to make sure what I'm saying about each verse is true, and that what I'm saying isn't just based off of my personal opinion or my personal feelings, and what I'm saying is true to what the word is actually saying. So all that to say, remember context. Whenever you're reading your word, remember to stay in context. Read the verses before and after. Read the chapters before and after so you can really understand what's going on in that book. But all that to say, let's go back to Romans 5:8. It says, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that's saying that he loved us at our darkest. He loved us at our darkest. So here's an example. In the U.S., we sometimes celebrate like Memorial Day and other holidays to honor the sacrifices of people who died so that other people may live. And remembering days like this brings to my mind what Romans chapter 5, verse 7 says, which says that for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. That for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. It's really rare for someone to lay down their own life for others. But at the same time, it's really courageous and loving and definitely worthy of honor, you know? But the love that God displays, the love that he displays is even bigger and even more worthy of recognition than this. Look, Jesus died. And yeah, people who are in the military, they will sometimes lay down their life for us. But Jesus died. He didn't just die for his friends. He didn't just die for those who loved him and supported him. But God showed his own love for us by dying for us while we were still sinning. He died for us while we were still sinning, while we were still sinners. While we were still enjoying everything from the world, he still died for us. It's almost like Jesus looked at us and said, I know you're rebelling against me, but I love you so much that I'll still go to the cross for you. It's like he said, I know you're rebelling against me, but I love you so much that I'll still go to the cross for you. Y'all, the world has never seen a love like this before. Never. That's why I love this verse so much, because whenever I read it, honestly, sometimes I get a little emotional. Because I'm like, dang, God, you loved me at my darkest. While I was still enjoying sin, while I was still just not trying to focus on you, you still loved me. And you showed that love for me by sending your perfect son to die for me. You sent your only son to live a perfect life. And even after he lived a perfect life, people still didn't like him. People hated him. And he still died for me willingly. He didn't complain. He didn't chicken out of it. He still died for me willingly. And that's why I just love this verse so, so much. Because the world has never and will never see a love like this. But let's go on to the next verse. Let me look for it really quick. I'm sorry. Okay, it is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So this is Jesus talking. And the chapter, the title of this section is The Son Gives Knowledge and Rest. I'm actually going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read verse 25 through 30, so it'll make a little bit more sense. Starting at verse 25, it says this. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, I really love verse 28. It says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I don't have a lot to say about this verse. This is also another verse that is taped up on my bulletin board. But in this verse, God doesn't say, come to me, all who are put together. He says what's in the. Verse 28. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. He doesn't say, come to me, all who are put together. Because sometimes we have this idea that we need to have ourselves all put together, have ourselves all perfect before we come to Christ, before we come to have a relationship with him. But that's not the case at all. God wants you to come as you are. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. He doesn't need you to be all put together to come to him. And if we adopt this societal pressure, we miss the point of like having that intimate relationship with Jesus. We start to get into a performance and works mentality, which is definitely not the way to go. I'm currently in a Bible study right now about why it's important to be in your word, and yesterday's topic was talking about why some people feel like they're not able to study the word. And the author said some people feel like they're not able to study the word because they don't know enough, or because they're not a biblical scholar, or because they're not smart enough. And she referenced this verse because it's really true. If we accept this societal pressure that we need to have our life all put together, that we need to be some biblical scholar to have an intimate relationship with Christ, then we're getting into a performance and works mentality, when that is definitely not what Christ wants. Jesus doesn't need you or doesn't want you to perform works for him. You don't need to perform works and do all this amazing stuff to get him to love you. He loves you regardless. He just wants the relationship with you. But anyway, we're going to move on. Before I keep rambling, we're going to move on to the last verse, which is from the book of Galatians. It's Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. And I actually mentioned this verse in the previous episode I did on this topic. And I'm mentioning it again because I love this verse so much. It says, For I am now trying to persuade people or God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I'm going to read it one more time. For am I now trying to persuade people or God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So the writer of Galatians is Paul, and I absolutely love Paul. I love just how he writes and just how he speaks now. He's so upfront and so on fire for the Lord. So in this verse, Paul is trying to explain to the people of Galatia, that's who he's writing to, that's why the book is called Galatians, but Paul is trying to explain to the people of Galatia that he's only in Galatia to do God's work. He's not there to be buddy-buddy with them. He's only there to do God's work. And Paul was using really strong language while speaking to the Galatians, which made it very clear that he wasn't striving to please the people. He wasn't striving to make them happy. He wasn't striving to just bump up their ego a little bit. Paul was not a people pleaser, because a people pleaser will say whatever people want to hear. But a servant of Christ like Paul will speak truth no matter what people think. And I really admire Paul for saying this, because as Christians, we sometimes fall into the trap of being people pleasers. Because sometimes, I know, we'll be convicted to speak on certain things or say something or speak up about a certain issue, but we're sometimes scared because people won't like us. We won't say anything. Or I know for me, I've had a few episodes that I was a little scared to do because I knew that it was a risky topic. And I was scared that I would lose supporters or lose followers, which is the wrong mentality to have, but that's the mentality I used to have. I was so scared of hurting people's feelings. I was so scared of people not agreeing with me. But Paul keeps saying, are you trying to please people or are you trying to please God? And also, this can relate to how you live your everyday Christian life. And it also can relate to the episode from last week called Christian Compromise. Are you compromising your faith to please the people around you? Because if you're compromising your faith to please the people around you, then what you're basically saying is that you're more focused on pleasing the world than God. And that's not what we want to say. If we are a Christian, if we're living for Christ, then we should be on fire for him and living for him in every aspect of our life. And sometimes that's going to mean that we're not going to be popular. As a Christian, you are not going to be popular. I'm not the most popular person in the world. One, because I'm shy, and two, because I have certain beliefs that I'm not willing to alter. Like, I'd rather just have a small group of friends who accept me for being me than have a whole bunch of fake friends. Like, lots of people don't want to be around me because my life makes them a little bit uncomfortable, because I live according to the word and I don't live according to the world. Because right now, where I'm at in life, I'm okay with not pleasing people. I'm okay with not being a people pleaser. I'd rather live a life that's pleasing to God than pleasing to people. Paul is literally asking, are you trying to please God or are you trying to please people? As a Christian, you're not going to please everybody. As a Christian, you're most likely going to have a whole bunch of haters. Because as a Christian, you're going to be speaking truth. And sometimes when you speak truth, the truth hurts. Like, the truth hurts sometimes. And so you're most likely going to have a whole bunch of haters, people who don't agree with you. But we have to become okay with that. Because as followers of Christ, we aren't called to fit in with the world. We're called to be set apart. We're not here to please people. We're here to please God. And so I just love Paul for writing this, because while he was in Galatia, he was using such strong language speaking to the Galatians because he was trying to please God and not please the people, because there were certain things the Galatians had to hear. And Paul wasn't scared to say it because he wasn't trying to please them. He was trying to please God and do God's work. But yeah, those are all the verses. It was really quick. Not really, really quick, but it was kind of a quick episode. But the verses, again, if you want to write them down, were Philippians 4:8, John 16:33, Romans 5:8, Matthew 11:28, and Galatians 1:10. But with that, let's pray. Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you for everything. Lord God, thank you for loving us at our darkest. Thank you for showing us how much you loved us by sending your son to die for us while we were still your enemies, while we were still living in sin. Thank you for showing us so much love. Lord, while we were still rebelling against you, you still chose to go to the cross, and we did not deserve it. We still don't deserve it, but you did it anyway, Lord, and I thank you. Lord, thank you for thank you for everything. Lord, thank you for the peace that you're able to give us. Thank you for calling us to you. Lord, sometimes we have this idea that we have to be all put together to approach your throne, but thank you for just letting us come as we are. Lord, thank you for allowing me to have this platform to share your truth with so many different people from all around the world. Thank you for everything, Lord. Lord God, after the listener heard this episode, please allow them to be more curious to learn more about you and tell others who you are. Lord, please let us be like Paul. Please let us be like Paul and not be scared what others think about us. Please let us be more focused on pleasing you than pleasing people. Please allow us to be more curious and on fire to go out and speak your truth. Thank you for everything, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so if you made it this far, that means you listened to the entire podcast, and that's awesome. But I wanted all of the podcast listeners to hear it first, that we have made it to 1,000 plays on the Gospel and Love podcast, which is really, really awesome and really, really crazy. And I'm just so thankful and just so happy that God has allowed this podcast to just explode and reach so many people from all over the world. When I first started the Gospel and Love podcast, I honestly thought it was just going to be for like friends and family in Michigan. And then a few months later, I was like, you know, maybe just around the US. And then a few months later, I was like, wow, this is like being listened to all over the world. And I'm just so grateful that I'm able to spread God's truth all over the planet. And to celebrate 1,000 plays, there's gonna be a giveaway. I haven't had a giveaway in a while, so I'm really, really, really excited. But you guys get to hear it first. Everyone on Instagram does not know about this yet, but y'all get to hear it first. So to be entered into the giveaway, head over to my Instagram right now. You're getting a heads up. Head over to my Instagram right now and read the instructions on my post and how to be entered into the giveaway. My Instagram is at the.gospel.and.love. I know there's a lot of dots, but go over to my Instagram and make sure you enter yourself into the giveaway and win some awesome, awesome prizes. But with all of that, I hope to have you guys come back next week and listen. Go ahead and share this podcast with a family member or a friend. But with all that, thanks for listening, guys, and thanks for 1,000 plays. Bye.